of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, as we continue on our study on the red letters. In the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and talk the idea of perspective. You know, it's interesting how perspective changes everything. Yeah, you know, I remember being younger and looking at my parents and thinking, man, they're not very bright. Now, I'm going to get a call from my mom because she watches these online. She'll be like, John. But she'll tell you, I had a couple of bratty years growing up. And I was like, oh, you know, they just don't understand. They just don't know anything. And then all of a sudden, I became a little older. Along the way, I got married and started to have my own kids. And I was like, man, how did my parents do it? You know, of looking on this side of things. And actually, I don't know if you ever did this, but I got to a point where, you know, I figured out, okay, my parents were doing this because, you know, my parents, we were in Minnesota, and they wanted to get away from it all. So they moved to Minnesota, moved to Maine. My stepfather took an old school bus, converted it into a camper, and we drove cross country. Five kids in a bus. Woohoo! And so I was calculating out, and I'm like, okay, you know what? We did that. I was in fourth grade, so I was probably about 9 years old. You know, so my parents were like early 30s. And I'm like, man, you know? I was just blown away. If you think back of how old your parents were when things were going on, like, how did they do it? You know? We did our children all one at a time. You know, that way, we always outnumbered our kids in the home. You know? And my parents had five of us. And we weren't little. I know, you know, looking at me, you say, man, you know, you must have been a really calm kid. We had a little bit of energy, and so, you know, imagine us crammed into a bus, and, you know, we were just talking the other day of food that you have, and I grew up on casseroles. Anyone else grow up on casseroles? You know, because my parents couldn't afford meat, potatoes, and so you put meat in a casserole, and my mom was like the inventor of casseroles. I mean, we never knew what we're... You know, she threw what she had, mixed it all together. You know, you put cream of mushroom soup in anything, it's good. I'm just saying, no, you know. And so, you know, I grew up eating those type of things, and I think back, like, how in the world did my mom just, how'd they do it? But it's all perspective, right? As a kid, you don't understand it all, and you're looking up, and it's easy to be judgmental, but when you're on the other side, it's all different. And we can see that in so many areas of our lives, right? So that's why we got to be careful of being judgy, because we don't know what someone's going through. We don't know everyone's struggle, right? We haven't walked in their shoes. And sometimes when we go through the same thing, it's like, oh, wow. It changes our perspective. Matthew chapter 20, actually, starting at 17, going down to verse 34, there's three stories, or there's three accounts. And you can say, well, none of these have anything to do with each other. And I'm convinced they are. As you read this, there's a reason why we talk about, you know, Jesus says he's going to go die, and then we have James and John's mom comes up, and we look at that. And then at the end, we have the parable of the healing of these blind men. That in here, I think it's written out in such a way that we have almost this biblical sandwich, if you will, right? If you like savory, or you can get like a spiritual Oreo, right? If you like the creamy stuff, right? Anyone remember the double stuffs? You know, how many guys break your Oreos? How many break the Oreos in half? Or you just eat them whole? How many eat them whole? How many just split them? Are you supposed to split them? That's the right way. And then you're supposed to see how many middles you can save. You know, because I'm old enough, they didn't have double stuff. They used to be just single stuff. So we would make our own double stuff. Well, now you have double stuff. Now you can split those up, and now you got quadruple stuff. Anyways, I digress. You can come here. I haven't had an Oreo in a long time. And now I think it's funny because now they come up with the thin ones. I'm like, they're just being cheap. You know, it's like, but anyways, I digress. Maybe I'm just hungry, but I digress. But we go through and we look at all these perspectives that we have in life. And we have this, like I said, spiritual sandwich, if you will. We have sort of two solid truths. And in between that, we have sort of the amplification of an issue. And we see this a few times in scriptures where we looked at this before and, you know, Jesus was doing something else, and all of a sudden we have this dialogue, and then all of a sudden we have something else, and it's kind of sandwiched in between that. And I'm going to take these and kind of sandwich it, or Oreo. So, Bruce, this is a free Oreo for you this morning. But in here, it's all about perspective. We're going to start off with this idea of perspective of living a life of service. Right? We live in a world that we are so amplified about myself. We live in a very selfish society. I do what I want, right? How I feel trumps everything, right? If I feel like I need freedom, it's okay to leave my family and leave my kids, right? The world says, oh, you live out your truth, right? Whatever makes you feel good. And it doesn't matter the harm you cause around you. And I think one of the overarching themes, we're going to get into this a little bit, is that this idea of the selfishness, of being lovers of ourselves, has overtaken our society. We see it everywhere, right? And we're training these young people who just do not care how people feel. And it's about themselves. So it's easy for us as Christians to fall into that. And when I take my eyes off of the Lord and what he has asked me to do, in this case, the idea of serving others, if I take my eyes off of that, then I turn it inward and I become a very miserable person. Right? We've all experienced it. Right? Hey, you know, if you're sick, if you're down, and all of a sudden you become isolated from all those people around you, you get trapped in your own head. Right? And you start having thoughts and you go deeper and deeper, right? I mean, I can't be the only one. You know, you feed your own depression. The whole woe is me. And you start believing your own thoughts and you just go down and down and down. And the cure for that is get outside of yourself. Get a different perspective. And the first one is that living a perspective of a life of service actually to others. And I get this, look, Matthew chapter 20, we'll get into the text. It says, now Jesus, going out from Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. So as they're going up to Jerusalem, and I love this little tidbit, it says, every time you go to Jerusalem, you're always going up. And in our mind, we always think of up as like north, right? We go up to the county, right? We go down to Augusta or Augusta, right? Depends on where you're from, right? But Jerusalem is interesting because no matter where you are, you go up to Jerusalem. Real simple reason. And Jerusalem is up on a hill. So no matter where you are in the country, you go up to Jerusalem. So that's just a little free tidbit this morning, right? It's always going up because they're not going north, south. None of that matters in their mind. They're going up because you're actually going uphill to Jerusalem because it's an elevated place. But anyway, he pulls the disciples aside and he tells them, look, we're going to Jerusalem. And they're going to take me and they're going to scourge me and they're going to kill me. But don't worry, 3 days later, I will rise again. Now, it's quick because we don't really have any response for the disciples because this is a message they have heard before. Jesus has told them this before. And actually, just back a couple of chapters, Matthew chapter 16. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go where? to Jerusalem and what? Suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Jesus has told them this before. And I find it amazing because when Jesus, they all seem surprised when Jesus is taken, crucified, laid in the tomb, and they think that's it. They forget what's going to happen 3 days later. He's supposed to rise from the dead. He told them. And yet, they weren't listening. In this case, remember, that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of things of God, but are the things of men." And in there, it was necessary for Jesus to be taken. It was necessary for him to die. He came to die, to be crucified. He is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. That's why he came. I know you guys have been watching any of the Chosen movies, and one of the aspects I do like about it is that you see this in Jesus' countenance as he's going through and kind of ministering and doing all these things, and then all of a sudden now he's heading towards the cross, and that weighs heavy on him of what's going to be coming. But the book of Hebrews tells us that the Lord looked forward to that, to endure the cross for us. And so we need to realize it's all about that perspective. Because the cross is where he had to go to ultimately serve and to sacrifice himself for others. See, Luke says this, "Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem." Jesus lived his life knowing the cross was coming. It's the disciples who messed up, right? It's the disciples who get caught up on, "Oh, what about the kingdom? Oh, what about us?" Right? What power and what authority do we have, right? We look at all these things, and when we get our eyes off the Lord and what he wants from us of serving others, right? When we go down that road and it's all about us, look, we drag ourselves down. We miss the point. That we are called a life of service, to serve others. Jesus did these things to be an example to us, the Bible says. And it's so easy to be caught up in myself, because I live with myself all the time. I know my needs, I know my wants. But Christian, that is a road that brings strife and division. It truly is. So it's interesting, we don't have a whole lot of dialogue here in Matthew 20, that here we have Jesus saying, "Look, we're going to Jerusalem, they're going to take me and scourge me, and they're going to kill me, but 3 days later I will rise again." And we have no reaction, right? Oh, here's Jesus going on about this again. Isn't it interesting that sometimes we miss the most important part? Right? We miss the most important part. Now, often my wife will leave. Thursday is her shopping day, so I stay home with the kiddo. And guys, you know how it's like. You know, sometimes your wife leaves and she leaves you a list of things to do, or here's some things I want you to do. And I'm like, yep, 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 yep. And then she comes home and, "Well, did you do that?" "Well, no, I was supposed to do that." "Well, I did this." "Well, I missed the most important part." Right? And sometimes we're really guilty of that. We get focused sometimes on so many of the smaller details that we miss the big part. We do that with the Lord. Sometimes we worry about just some of the smallest details instead of what's the big picture. And we see what happens because here, when we have the wrong perspective, it brings strife. Take a look at what happens here. Right after this, remember, think about this. Jesus says, look, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. That's pretty heavy. Right? And that's pretty significant, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you've ever had someone sit you down. Years ago, my stepfather got cancer. And he asked the whole family to come around, and we had one of these big... And we weren't a family that had these powwows. I know some families have these big meetings all the time. My family didn't do that. We were just kind of told, and then that was it. I mean, it was just... And so we gathered all in. It was like, oh, something's going on. And my stepfather told us, he says, look, I have cancer. It's in my liver. There's not a whole lot they can do. He's going to try a whole bunch of experimental things. And he goes, I do not want to be on life support. I do not. He went down all this list of what he, right? He goes, look, I don't want to be in bed forever and kept alive. And he goes, look, I just want you guys all to know what's going on. And you could hear a pin drop in that room. I mean, that took all our attention. Nothing else really mattered. Right? I mean, when someone says, I'm dying, it's amazing how so many things that don't really count anymore just kind of fall by the wayside, right? Jesus had just told them, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. And what should their reaction have been? Oh, Lord. And I don't know if because Peter is like, well, Lord, let this not happen. Because it's gravy, right? I mean, Peter was like, no. And Jesus said, yes, yes, yes. So I don't know if that kind of played into this where they're like, oh, we don't want to say anything. But it seems like they don't even acknowledge it. They're totally missing the whole point because they're focused on themselves, right? Their perspective is off. Not on serving others, but about themselves. So much so that in verse 20, it says, then the mother of Zebedee's son came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asked them something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Now, I imagine as full-grown men, James and John, right, the two sons here, they come up with mommy. Now, I love my mom, but I wouldn't want my mom to fight my battles for me. Years ago, when we were in Bible school, one of our teachers, the lady came up. She goes, will you pray for my son, Bobby? He goes, Bobby just joined the Marines, and he's in boot camp right now. So she goes, will you pray for him? Because he's not used to being told what to do. Now, I don't know the Marines, but I think they're kind of known for telling you what to do. I think it's in their job description. But she goes, pray for Bobby. And so the next week, we're in class, and someone asked how Bobby's doing. She goes, oh, really pray for him. Because they're down south. I guess their boot camp is down south. And he sunburns really easy. She goes, so I called down there and talked to his commanding officer and tell him, I said, will you please remind Bobby to put suntan lotion on? Because he'll burn. And she goes, and I got a note from Bobby. He's like, Mom, please don't call. Because come to find out now that he was called the Sunshine Boy. And it's, you know, so this is back before the whole gentle and nice military. This is when boot camp was boot camp. And so the drill sergeant was calling him Sunshine Boy, and make sure you put your lotion on and all of this. And so 2 weeks go by, and she goes, you know, pray for Bobby. He's not adjusting well, and the food's not selling well in his stomach. And so she goes, I called down there again, because he's got a sensitive stomach, so will you please, you know, make sure Bobby, you know, eats the right food and doesn't, well, you can imagine how that went over. And so he's like, Mom, please, don't, please, stop. And so Apparently one of the letters Bobby wrote home and said, yeah, they're making us run a lot. And she was concerned over that because he's got bad feet. And so she called down there again and said, look, Bobby can't do the running like you're doing. And so basically Bobby wrote back and said, Mom, will you please stop? He goes, the drill sergeant made them carry me on the run. He goes, please, Mom, please stop. And so, you know, she's pleading with us, please pray for Bobby. She goes, seems like the more I try to help him, the worse it gets. And we're like, yeah. You know. And so, and I always think of this that way, I think of this passage, because here we have two men who've been following Jesus, right? And then the mom comes and says, okay, you know, James and John, you know, come on up. And it says hey, Jesus, will you give my sons the two places of honor when you come into your kingdom? That's what it means, the right hand and the left hand. The two places of honor. Will you give this to my son? And talk about the perspective. Right? Jesus has just told them what? I'm going to go die for everyone. And Mama Zeb comes up and says, hey, what about my kids? Treat them special. And you can see what happens, right? I told my, you know, my teacher's Bobby there. See, not only did it cause dissension among the leadership, but also among his troop. Right? He's going to say, Mom, you're making it worse. Why? Because when we start focusing on the wrong things, right? We start thinking about ourselves in our selfishness. When we elevate that end, what happens is we start clashing with each other. If everyone's watching out for themselves, there's not unity. And so Jesus turns around in verse 22 and says, but Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. And what Jesus says, look, you don't understand what you're asking. Do you realize all that's going to happen? I mean, he talks about being baptized, being immersed in what I'm going to do, drink of the cup. He said, well, the cup of the wrath of the God. Are you able to follow me? Are you able to go down the road that it's going to take? You know, it's interesting. You know, some of you have been married for a while. And going down that road of marriage is not an easy one. There are struggles along the way. And I always think it's kind of funny. You see a married couple, they're standing up front, they're all, you know, we do, well, we love each other. And you're like, they have no clue of what they're getting themselves into. Right? Now, I am right there. I was clueless. I'm glad I was clueless, you know? I figured it out as we went along. Following Jesus is not easy. And it costs. And if people get into this just for themselves, they're going to be disappointed along the way. Because Christianity isn't all about me. Right? We're told to give and serve, to love and care, to forgive, be patient. We're told to do all these things. And Jesus warns them, says, look, are you able to do this? And they turn around and says, he said to them, you indeed will drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized with. Right? You are going to suffer. Actually, history tells us, and the scripture tells us, James doesn't make it far into the book of Acts, where he's killed. He's the first martyr of the faith. Killed. One of the disciples. John, his brother, goes on. Tradition tells us that he was taken and he was thrown into a pot of boiling oil and survived. And then was taken and sent out to the small little island in the Mediterranean, Patmos. Chances are he was a labor camp. He probably worked And that's where he penned the book of Revelation. Serving Jesus is not easy. And sometimes it costs. Sometimes it costs my own pride. It costs my own ego. Sometimes it will cost us friends. Let me tell you, friends, though, it's worth it. It's worth it. But then he turns around and says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but for those for whom he is prepared for my Father. And Jesus says, look, it's not mine to give away. Perspective. Can I tell you something? If I'm in this for myself, I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. I don't serve the Lord for what I can get out of it. I serve him because he is the way, the truth, and the life. I serve him because he first loves me. Now, don't get me wrong. God gives me good things. He pours blessings upon him, and I'm thankful for that. I don't deserve any of it, though. But once I get into this perspective that it's about me, then I'm in trouble. And it starts causing strife and division. Because think what happens here, right? So James and John, mom shows up and says, Jamesy and Johnny, come on up. And says, hey, will you give these to the two seats of honor? And says, when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Right? My selfishness will cause division within the body of Christ. If everyone in this room is watching out for themselves, we're not going to get far. We're in 1 Corinthians in Sunday school, and we're going to be talking about God has given gifts and abilities to those that belong to him so that we can serve others with. And we are so good at taking what God has given us and using it just for me. And it caused division and strife and hurt and squabblings and divisions. Jesus goes on and says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know how this ties in what Jesus said, I'm going up to Jerusalem, right? What's going to happen? He goes, look, the world is all about power and authority. Look what happens in places like D.C., where it's all about pulling the strings and having the power and keeping the power. Augusta, right? We have those who have prestige and prominence. And look at me. And lording it over. I'm a firm believer that I would love it that any law that is passed, that those who have to write the laws have to follow them. I always find it interesting. And oftentimes they're exempt from the laws that they are written. Why? Because they can. They have the power. What can you do? You know? Do you know who I am? Do you know how important I am? That's how the world does it. How many times during COVID did we see on the news of some celebrity or some politician who got to go out and got to do something when we were told we couldn't, right? That's the way the world operates. Jesus says, don't let that be among you. If you want to be great, become the least. Serve. He goes, let him be a slave. Oh, that's a harsh word. I remember it was in a church and the gentleman became a deacon and someone came up and said, oh, great, you're a deacon. Now you can do whatever you want. It's like, wait a minute, now you're missing the point. See, within Christianity, the more responsibility you have, the greater responsibility you have to serve. Someone once said that to me. He goes, "Oh, it must be great being the pastor because you can do whatever you want." I said, "What are you talking about? I got 50 bosses. I got 50 people I got to watch out for. I got 50 people I got to care for." It shouldn't be about me. And I don't have to give an account. Just as you will. You will have to give an account for the gifts and abilities that God has given you. How have you served others' people with it? Or even taking it and doing it on yourself. And it's so easy for it to become selfish in our lives. And it's so easy for that to creep in. I remember years ago, we were at an event, I can't remember what it was, and there was a teenage boy, and there was I think there was like 5 or 6 cupcakes that was left over, and I said, "Look, why don't you take these home to your family?" And he was like, "Ooh, yes." Right? So I gave them for him to what? Go home and share. And later on, I was talking to the parents, and I said, "Oh, how those cupcakes taste?" And they're like, "What cupcakes?" I'm like, "Well, we'd be sent home." Well, guess what happened to the cupcakes? They never made it. That's a small thing. But it really shows a big attitude, doesn't it? These were given so that it be shared. He didn't earn them. He didn't deserve them. But they were given to him for him to disperse. How much more so should we? Of what God has given us. Because it's not about us. We take them and use it for ourselves. And he goes, just as Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Let us have an attitude and a perspective of service. He goes on and says, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, right? Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And this is really, I think, the key perspective of living our lives. It's not about me. If Jesus is my example, he came and gave. He gave it all. And I need to be one who gives. I need to be one who's focused on others, not on myself. Philippians goes on like this. It says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but the interests of others. This is Paul's prayer. Watch out for each other. Care for each other. Reach out to each other. I'll tell you, that what signifies a good church. You know? It's not just up the pastor's job to reach out and visit and all that. It's we all need to be reaching out and loving and caring for those people around us. In lowliness of mind. Contrast that to 2 Timothy. This is what Paul says what the world's thoughts are. This is how the world operates. And you tell me how far off he is. But know this, that the last times, perilous times will come. For men will be what? Lovers of themselves. Isn't that what we're seeing today? Our world is all about me, 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 me. What I want. How I feel. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Right? Pride is about me. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, right? You don't forgive. Why? Because I don't want to. Slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, right? I do what feels good for me, and I don't care what the Word of God says. And I'll tell you this last one. So many people are leaving the faith because they would rather live in their own pleasures than follow the will of God. Right? You guys know what it's like, right? If you're, someone asks, well, what does the Bible say about this? And you tell them, and they're like, whoa, I don't want that. Because I want my own pleasures. I want something that's going to tell me I can't do what I want. I mean, that's the unforgivable sin in our society today. In our lives, if you seek God first, then serve others, and then ourselves. That's the perspective we should have. Putting God first, then serving others, and then ourselves. Then lastly, we see this. Right? We talk about a life of service that Christ came. He goes, go. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. Right? He goes, B, I'm setting an example for you, for service. And if we don't, if we think about ourselves, it's going to bring strife and conflict. And then you come back down to the end of the chapter here. And we have this correction, and then all of a sudden we're brought back into the reality of it. Guess what? There's needs all around us. And sometimes we get so selfish, so self-consumed, that we don't see how other people are hurting. Sometimes we don't see what's going on and how other people are struggling. We don't see that. Why? Because I'm so busy on myself. And if we just look up and realize I'm not the only one that's hurting, I look up and I realize I'm not the only one who's struggling. And you might even see, you know what? Some people even have it worse than I do. I don't have it so bad. We back up at the end of this chapter. It says, now they went to Jericho. A great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. That Son of David, here declaring that he was the Messiah. And you're like, shh, be quiet. And I can't quite figure out, because I don't know if they're telling him to be quiet because, hey, you know, you're bothering me. Leave us alone. Or at this point, remember, the Pharisees and the religious leaders are looking to take Jesus out. And they're heading towards Jerusalem. So I wonder if the disciples were like, shh. You know, we don't want to aggravate. But it doesn't matter, because there's a need, right? The call goes out. We want, Lord, help us. And so Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So the Lord had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Folks, there's need all around us. And while the disciples are bickering about who's greatest in the kingdom, and James and John bring mommy in to fight for them, and all this internal stuff, look around. Look at all the needs. Look at all that can be done if you're willing to follow him. If we're willing to have the right perspective. Right? A life of service. Get my eyes off of myself, so there's not strife. But look around, there's so much that can be done. Jesus said, lift your eyes, the fields are white on the harvest. But pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send laborers. Right? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There's so much that can be done. There's so much that should be done. But if our perspective is off, if it's on us and not God, it's not on the needs of others, then the work will go undone. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, in our lives, Lord, help us to be servants unto you first. Then in this, Lord, give us the opportunity to serve others. Lord, you promised to take care of me. You'll take care of my needs. I can trust in you. So, Lord, that frees me up to give my life to others, Lord. Open our eyes. Change our perspectives, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.